Hey, this episode of the Exit 5 podcast is brought to you by Pharos IQ. In 2024, you're facing tougher pipeline challenges than ever in B2B marketing. That's reduced budgets, tighter resources, and fewer active buyers. Yet, the CEO wants the growth goals to remain the same. Pharos IQ leverages down funnel intent signals along with targeted demand solutions to help you build your pipeline efficiently. They help B2B marketing leaders reach their ideal buyers and generate leads that actually convert for businesses of all sizes. Generating leads is easy. Generating leads that convert is what separates Pharos IQ from the competition. You can check them out now at pharosiq.com/exit5 and book a meeting with their team if you're interested. Plus, they're sending out a bunch of free memberships to Exit 5. So if you're not already a member, go check them out. pharosiq.com/exit5. They'll hook you up with an Exit 5 membership. Talk to their team, learn more about the product. That's pharosiq.com, pharosiq.com/exit5. One word. All right. See ya.
Hey, what's up? This is Dave Gerhart, and you're listening to DGMG Radio.
Hey, DGMG Radio. What's up? Today, I want to talk about company positioning and storytelling. I see something that comes up a lot, and it's a very common thing. And it is so often at companies, as they evolve, or even in the early stages, there you can have a product that can be sold to different customer segments for many different use cases. And I often talk to marketers, or you know, the marketing team has one opinion, the sales team has another opinion, the customer success team has another opinion about who the right fit customer is and all the use cases. And even if the product's really good and the use case fit is really strong, there's always this like, there's 100 different ways people could use our product and we need to tell them all. And I totally disagree with that, because what I see happen over and over is startups fall in love with all of the different ways their product can do something, and they try to mash that all together in some like meaningless value prop. Like, we help build relationships. I can't give an example without context, and I think that's just such a mistake, because when it comes to positioning your company, being direct and being clear is so much more powerful than having this muddy, like, we serve 5 different customer segments, because you have to remember that you can always land and expand. And so there always needs to be some angle. There needs to be some wedge. And oftentimes, 80% of the customers are going to buy for that reason. And so this is one of the things that's so frustrating about doing positioning inside of a company, is that everybody's got opinions. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but you have to limit the number of inputs and people who are making these positioning and messaging decisions. It's great to get their input and get their feedback. But like, you can just totally tell when a startup has just like kind of mashed all the things that they think are important from different teams and put them together and then slapped them on the website. And I see a lot of times, like, I feel like I'm very direct and I give very specific advice. And I'm like, man, this company just like is overthinking. They're overthinking their positioning, because when I'm able to look at it from the outside, I'm like, oh, it's so obvious. This is what your company does. And they're like, yes, that's what we do. And I'm like, well, great. Why haven't you said that? And it's like, well, because, you know, this segment and this team, and we also have this, you know, partnership with this company, and, you know, we have this legacy customer set that we got to appeal to. Like, no. Clarity is always going to be the best thing. And there's nothing more important than the story, because the story is your strategy. And so if you can't get aligned on the story, then you can't go build an effective strategy. And so I see so often, anytime the story is muddy, the strategy is muddy. We're selling to all these different customer segments. And I'm not talking about a $100 million, $500 million company with, you know, multiple business units. And most of the people in the DGMG world, or that I'm either working with directly or, you know, talking to through the community or day-to-day podcast, listen, like, most of you are less than $50 million. I would say most people are probably even less than $20 million in revenue. Maybe even 10. Like, I think there's a lot of like single digit ARR companies that follow this stuff. And like, your advantage right now is to just be clear and be direct, and don't try to be everything to everyone, and don't overthink what you're doing. Yes, you got to make it sizzle. You got to add some stuff to it. But the opportunity is to take a step back and say, like, what's the reason 80% of the people come to our website and buy? It's usually going to be one one or two very clear and direct things. And that's what you want to build your positioning around. On top of that, that is also why story is so important, because then you can have an effective strategy moving forward. Anytime your positioning is rock solid, then the strategy, it answers so many questions for the strategy piece moving forward. And it's oftentimes, the CEO is usually at the center of this because they have all these different ideas and visions and things they want to do. And you got to push to focus and say, like, what is our wedge? What is our hook going to be? What is this very clear story? And this is why I keep going back to this thought that, like, so much of marketing is ruined by what happens internally. Like, you have to make a team. I think April Dunford talks about this, but like, maybe the CEO, the marketing leader, and maybe one other person should be involved in owning the creation of the company story and narrative. Now, that doesn't mean you don't get feedback and you don't make other people feel like they're involved and bring them in and put in and ideas from them, but you got to have a strong conviction. And it's never going to be 10 people in a room raise their hand and say, yes, this is a story, I agree with it. No, you have to pick one. You have to pick a lane and you have to go out and execute. That's one observation that I was going to share today. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about is your marketing strategy. So first we talked a little bit about positioning. Strategy. Okay, one thing that I don't see enough people understand is that your marketing strategy has to be based on the ingredients that you have to work with, right? Marketing, you're the chef, right? And you get a bunch of different ingredients. But the problem is, as the marketer, especially at a startup, you are not often involved in shopping for the groceries. And to any sports fans out there, especially if you're in the Patriots world, you remember there's a classic Bill Parcells quote about, if they want you to cook the meal, they should at least let you shop for the groceries. Well, in marketing, you're not shopping for the groceries, right? You are joining the company after the founder started it. At some point, you are not the one fundraising. You are not the one hiring everybody across the company. You are not developing the product and figuring out, you know, there's so much nuance. And so I'm ranting on this because I saw a question come up in the DGMG community the other day about, hey, we can't pay San Francisco top of the market salaries. So like, how do we compete for talent? And that was such a great question because it really prompted this thinking in my head, which is like, you have to have context of all that. And so like, as a marketing leader, your job is not just to blindly execute on the orders that you're given from the CEO. You have to be real. And so if you have a plan, it's like, hey, we're going to grow from zero to 10 million in the next year. And we raised 100 million from Sequoia and we have well-known investors and well-known founders. And great. You know what? I bet that's an insane goal still, but you're going to be able to go and attract top talent because how you're going to build a team is you have a great story around, you know, equity and potential unicorn and potential upside, and you have all this cash, and so you can go and pay $150K for early head of marketing when you haven't like built anything yet or sold anything yet. But a lot of companies aren't in that position. Or let's say you're coming into a market and, you know, five of your other competitors are super well funded and you're not. And funding is just one piece of this, but like when you're building your marketing strategy for the year, you have to take in all these different things into account. So like, can we compete in this area? Like same thing I think about like when I'm building a marketing strategy and picking channels, like if we've never done a podcast before, and this is like, it's a bad example, but just to give you some context, like if we've never done a podcast before, nobody in our company has done a podcast. Nobody likes to hear their own voices. They don't like to talk. We don't have any writing expertise. Then like, I wouldn't recommend going and do that first. You have to stack the deck for the things that, for the areas that you can be uniquely successful. And so when you go and build a marketing strategy, you need to take the ingredient, you need to look inside of your company and say, well, what factors do we have? Like, okay, well, we can't pay top of the market. And so we're going to have to hire more junior people. And so as a result, that's going to change the marketing strategy that we're going to build, right? Or maybe you can, and that will go the other way. That will change a different type of strategy, right? Or we you know, we're bootstrapping this. We haven't raised a bunch of venture dollars. And so we're not going to spend, you know, $5,000 once a month on a dinner with CEOs to try to sell to them. You have to use all those ingredients. You also have to use the context of what's happening in the market with your competitors. If five of your competitors are really heavy with events, then I might not go play that game. And I'm trying to find other channels that I can win and compete on. And so whether it's hiring or picking channels or figuring out where you're going to place bets, like you have to take in all that context. And so like before you get into the spreadsheet and before you get into the Google Doc and doing whatever your planning is, like sit down and say like, what is our place in the market? How do we think we can win? What are the things that we need to go and do there? And so, hey, I don't have the biggest budget in the world. And so I'm going to have to build this team with 3 or 4 junior people. Okay, that's going to take a lot of my time and coaching and training. Okay, but like what channels can we go and compete on? Or maybe we can hire an agency to help scale some of this thing. You got to think about all the ingredients. You can't just go and say, yep, here's the funnel math. Here's the goal that we got from the CEO and CFO for the year. Okay, we're going to go execute on it. You have to work all those factors into your plan, and you got to be constantly adjusting. And even on the hiring side, you might adjust the strategy based on who you're hiring. Like I've done this in the past where you might be hiring like, hey, I think we need to hire for product marketing. Well, I'm going to post 2 product marketing roles. I'm going to post head of product marketing. I'm going to post product marketing associate. I'm going to see who comes in because maybe we'll get a badass head of product marketing. But damn it, we can't afford her right now. She's making a 150 at this other company. We can't pay her that right now. We got a more junior person who looks really hungry. And this person, you know, maybe we do have actually a nice like 80K salary in the budget. Okay, so we're going to go with that path. Like you have to give yourself optionality. And somebody had asked this before, but the way that I put that in the hiring plan for the year, and this is a separate tangent on hiring now, is just like you put in a range and have that conversation with the CEO, like, hey, we have budget to hire 5 people this year, right? I can't tell you all the 5 roles that I'm going to hire throughout the year. I have no idea. We got to go do things. Maybe we'll hire 2 of them now and 3 of them later. And so I've always kind of had like TBH to be hired in the plan, and I give a range of salary, right? And so like usually it's like, hey, you know, the range for this role is going to be between 100 and 150K. And if I get the 150K person, then maybe the next person that I hire on the different part of the team, I can't. Like I just use that. It's almost like if you're building like a DraftKings lineup and you have a budget and you're going to go spend a big portion of your budget on one person, then you got to go and readjust the formula for the rest of the people that you're going to hire. And this is not just specific to hiring. This is spending on any channel. So just continue to think about marketing strategy as like a portfolio and or a recipe. And you got to work with the ingredients that you get from the company and from the market. And your job is to put all those things together. It's like, you know, you could hire an amazing chef. Like if you give me all the like crappy ingredients I have in my fridge right now and ask me to make you something, you're going to get a grilled cheese, right? But if you hire an amazing chef, they might make you that same grilled cheese, but it's going to be amazing. That's what separates the great marketing leaders, at least from the others. Okay, this is just what I want to do with this podcast. I have guests. I'm going to do some of that stuff later. But right now it's a little bit before the holidays and I'm not up for calling people over Zoom and talking for an hour. And I'm going to be hanging out more with my family over the next couple weeks. So I'm just ranting. And I hope it's helpful for you. If it is, drop me a note on Twitter or hit me up on my website, davegerhart.com. And if you're not already a member of DGMG and everything else, you can go check it out. It's all up on my site, davegerhart.com. Shout out to the crew at Hatch. Use hatch.fm. They do all the audio editing and production for the show. And they give startups like unlimited editing, and it's amazing. I've used Fiverr in the past. I've used Upwork in the past. This is way better. We have a system where basically I record an episode, I throw it up on a Trello board, I've picked the music, and we've done the intro and everything later, and they stitch it all together. Hey, I'm even on their website. Look at that. Look at that bald man. Okay. All right. I'm out of here. Enjoy the rest of your day, week, morning, whatever you're doing, and hit me up, davegerhart.com. Hey, so I created Exit 5 to help you build a successful career in B2B marketing. First, it started off as my private podcast on Patreon, and many of you who listen to this today probably are OGs and remember that. I was talking about my lessons and learnings going from PR intern to CMO. Then it morphed into a Facebook group and quickly became one of the top resources for marketers in B2B SaaS. Today, this is a full-blown company. We have 3 full-time employees and ambitions to grow the team and keep building and hire more people this year. And we're investing in everything that's working, which right now is everything. It's
amazing. We're making a big update to our community. We're doubling down on this podcast to serve the 5,000 people that listen every week. We're investing in our newsletter and written content to help the 16,000 people that get our emails. We're even hosting our first in-person event in September. We're building Exit 5 to help you grow your career in B2B marketing, because really there's no school for B2B marketing. You can't get a degree in how to build pipeline, and there isn't a playbook for how to get promoted in your career. And that's why I'm telling you right now to go and join the Exit 5 community. Go to exit5.com. You can click join right there. There's a free 7-day trial. So if you're listening to this podcast, if you are one of those 5,000 people that listen to this podcast every single week and you have not joined our community yet, go and do that. At least go and check out the 7-day free trial. You'll sign up, you'll put your credit card in, but we don't bill you until 7 days. It's a 7-day free trial. And this is really Dave. We really do all of this. I want to build a company that is customer friendly. And that means that if you sign up and 2 weeks into this thing, you realize it's not for you, you can email us and cancel. But I want you to go check it out. It's a 7-day free trial. Go to exit5.com. You can get in our community and you'll see why it's so much more than just a discussion forum. Exit 5 is a B2B marketing resource that's there for you when you need it the most. When your boss comes to you and says, hey, we need you to come up with an ABM strategy for this year and you've never done that before, you go to Exit 5 and you ask that question, or you go and search the hundreds of posts before you. When you want to look for a new job, but you're not ready to post about it on LinkedIn yet, you can quietly browse for open roles and see who's hiring inside of Exit 5. Or maybe you need to build a peer group of other people in your job function, but LinkedIn is too broad to dig through. You can find out who else works in product marketing in your niche, or who else is a director in the $1 million to $10 million company range. You can do that inside of Exit 5. Maybe you want freelance. Maybe you need to make a video in a pinch and you need recommendations for a freelance videographer that can work on your next product launch video, and they're located in the US and within your range of budget. That is why we built Exit 5, and that's what you can go in there and do. So go and check it out, exit5.com, start a free trial, and we'll see you inside of the community. Hey, this episode of the Exit 5 podcast is brought to you by Pharos IQ. In 2024, you're facing tougher pipeline challenges than ever in B2B marketing. That's reduced budgets, tighter resources, and fewer active buyers. Yet, the CEO wants the growth goals to remain the same. Pharos IQ leverages down funnel intent signals along with targeted demand solutions to help you build your pipeline efficiently. They help B2B marketing leaders reach their ideal buyers and generate leads that actually convert for businesses of all sizes. Generating leads is easy. Generating leads that convert is what separates Pharos IQ from the competition. You can check them out now at pharosiq.com/exit5 and book a meeting with their team if you're interested. Plus, they're sending out a bunch of free memberships to Exit 5. So if you're not already a member, go check them out. pharosiq.com/exit5. They'll hook you up with an Exit 5 membership. Talk to their team, learn more about the product. That's pharosiq.com, pharosiq.com/exit5. One word. All right. See ya.